Blog Talk Radio.
My daddy, who is nearly 70 years old, seems to feel like some of today's gospel music has lost its way. You see, my daddy's from Kershaw, South Carolina, raised in Bright Light Baptist Church and Ebenezer Baptist Church. My daddy believes that when you hear gospel, it ought to sound like gospel. So my sister told me that she was making a gospel record. I wanted to make sure that it was something on there for my daddy. So daddy, we're going to take you back. God is good.
I know that God, my God, God is good.
Yes, he is.
God.
Imagine standing at a crossroads where every path seems shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. You feel the weight of choices, each path promising different outcomes and experiences. It's in such moments that the cry of our hearts echoes the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. This profound verse isn't just a request. It's an admission of our need for divine guidance in the maze of life. Now, if you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a fervent prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. We live in a world where our steps can easily veer off into paths of distraction or danger. The choices we make, the roads we take, the relationships we nurture, and the values we hold dear all require wisdom that transcends our limited understanding. In the Bible, the notion of steps often symbolizes our life's journey. It reminds us that life is not static, but a series of movements and decisions. And in this journey, we are not alone. We have a guide who promises to lead us through his word. Reflect on your life for a moment. Think about the times you felt lost, unsure of which direction to take. Remember the moments of decision, big or small, that shaped the course of your journey. At times, the way ahead may have seemed clear, illuminated by the light of your understanding. But how often have we found ourselves at a dead end, or worse, on a perilous path, simply because we trusted in our wisdom? This is why our hearts echo the psalmist's prayer. Guide my steps. It's a prayer of humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. It's a prayer of faith, trusting that God, who sees the end from the beginning, will guide us. It's a prayer of surrender, yielding our will and desires to his perfect plan. When we invite God to direct our steps, we are not giving up our freedom. Rather, we are exercising the highest form of freedom, choosing to walk in the light of his wisdom and love. Now, consider the second part of the verse, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is crucial. Our journey is not just about finding the right path, but also about walking in righteousness. It's a recognition that our choices are not morally neutral. They can lead us either towards or away from the path of integrity and purity. Asking God to guide our steps is also a plea for him to protect us from the influence of sin and wrongdoing that can so easily entangle us. In our journey through life, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Voices of society, culture, personal ambition, and even our desires. These voices can sometimes drown out the still, small voice of God, leading us astray. But when we earnestly seek God's guidance, he promises to lead us. As Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 reminds us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." This is a promise of divine direction and intervention. But how does God guide us? He guides us through his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119, verse 105 declares. He guides us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts and minds, guiding us into all truth as affirmed in John 16, verse 13. He also guides us through wise counsel from others, through circumstances, and through the peace that comes from making decisions aligned with his will. Embracing God's guidance requires us to let go of our desire to control every aspect of our lives. It means trusting that even when the path seems uncertain or challenging, God is working out his perfect plan for us. It's about believing that he knows what is best for us and is capable of leading us to our destiny. This trust doesn't come easy, but it's a journey worth embarking on. As we navigate through the complexities of life, let us remember that our steps are ordered by the Lord, as Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us. When we commit our way to the Lord, He will establish our steps. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but it does mean that we can rest in the assurance that God is with us every step of the way, guiding, correcting, and leading us towards His purpose for our lives. So, today, as we stand at the crossroads of life, let's make a conscious decision to ask God to guide our steps. Let's pray with sincerity and open our hearts to His leading, and also be willing to follow wherever He guides. In doing so, we will find that our paths become clearer, our decisions wiser, and our lives more aligned with His perfect will. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me, so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, I come before You with a heart full of praise. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the One who guides the stars and directs our steps. Your majesty and power are beyond our understanding, yet You care for us deeply. I thank You, Lord, for Your unending love, Your grace, and the countless blessings You bestow upon us each day. Your goodness and mercy follow us, and for this I am eternally grateful. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life, for the air I breathe, and for the love I experience from You and those around me. In this moment of prayer, I humbly ask for Your forgiveness for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have strayed from Your path. As I seek Your forgiveness, I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness and resentment in my heart. Cleanse me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, as I step into this new day, I pray for divine direction in all that I do. Guide my thoughts, decisions, and actions according to Your will. Help me to recognize Your voice leading me, and grant me the wisdom to understand the plans You have for me. May Your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, illuminating every step I take. Protect me, O God, from missteps that lead away from Your will. I rebuke any plans of the enemy to cause confusion or to lead me astray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Shield me from harm and keep me on the path of righteousness, so that I may walk in Your truth and integrity. Lord, I pray for strength and courage, especially in times of trial and uncertainty. When challenges arise, remind me that You are my rock and fortress. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. In every difficult situation, grant me the fortitude to endure and the faith to trust in Your unfailing love and power. I ask for clarity of purpose, O Lord. Reveal to me the unique path You have set for my life. Let my actions and choices reflect the calling You have placed upon me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my life is aligned with Your divine purpose, and I am walking in the destiny You have ordained for me. Gracious Lord, teach me obedience and surrender as I seek to understand Your will. Help me to submit my will to Yours, knowing that Your plans are higher than mine. In every decision, let me seek Your face and follow Your guidance. I bind any spirit of rebellion or pride in the name of Jesus, and I declare a heart that is receptive to your leading. Guide me in my relationships, Father. Bless my interactions with others and help me to build connections that honor you. I pray for wisdom in my dealings and for the ability to show your love and grace in all my relationships. I declare that my relationships are guided by your love and wisdom, bringing glory to your name. Grant me peace in decision-making, Lord. In moments of uncertainty, fill me with your tranquility, ensuring that my choices align with your will. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of anxiety and confusion. I declare that in every decision, your peace reigns in my heart, guiding me to make choices that honor you. I pray for trust in your timing, Almighty God. Help me to be patient as I wait for your guidance, knowing that you make all things beautiful in your time. I rebuke any spirit of impatience or frustration in the name of Jesus. I declare that I will wait on you with faith and confidence, trusting in your perfect timing for every aspect of my life. Empower me with courage to follow your lead, Lord. Even when the path is unfamiliar or challenging, strengthen my resolve to walk in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am fearless in pursuing the direction you have for me. I rebuke any spirit of fear or hesitation and claim boldness and confidence in following your call. I pray for my loved ones, Lord. May your blessings, guidance, and protection be upon them as well. Let them experience your love and grace in their lives. I declare that they too are walking in your divine purpose and are shielded by your mighty hand. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now. We come in agreement as we pray for each other, knowing that you are in our midst as you promised. We claim victory in your name, declare healing for those in need, and thank you for your protection and guidance. Together, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in our daily walk with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word Amen in the comment section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the
what the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. His goodness and mercy and the power of his blood.
I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood. And based on what I've done, the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
Power in 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 the blood.
that whether you are fully aware or not, you have placed something first in your life. Have you ever stopped to consider what occupies that prime spot in your heart and whether or not it truly deserves that honor? Today, I want to urge you to put God first in your life. Let us delve into God's Word to truly understand the profound impact of making Him the center of our lives. I am also going to pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. Now consider this. Every decision, every action, and every thought reflects what we value most. The choices we make daily are a mirror to our soul's deepest desires and priorities. But, you know what? We should always ensure that we put God first in all that we do. When we truly place Him at the forefront of our lives, we experience a transformation so profound that our lives will never be the same. Today, I want to share with you 9 essential truths to keep in mind as we seek to ensure that we've put God first in our lives. As we discuss these 9 truths, I pray that each one will resonate deeply within you, guiding your path closer to God's heart. Remember, a life centered around God is not just rewarding. It's the very essence of true fulfillment in your life. Number 1. Understand the ultimate priority. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This isn't a mere statement. It's a profound truth. Every day, life presents us with an array of choices. It's like being at a grand buffet with so many dishes to pick from. What do you prioritize? The world offers temporary pleasures, wealth, fame, luxury, and all the material stuff you can think of. But what does God offer? God offers Himself, which covers everything. When we prioritize God, we aren't merely adding Him to our list. We are placing Him at the top. By aligning ourselves with God's purpose, our entire perspective shifts. Life's challenges, rather than appearing as insurmountable obstacles, become lessons. They evolve into opportunities for growth and self-discovery. And you know what's interesting? When we place God first, everything else falls into place. It's like that void we once had. It's filled. That deep emptiness within us. Like there's something missing, it's gone. Because when we place God first, we begin to find fulfillment in His love and purpose. It's one thing for me to tell you, but my friends, experiencing it for yourself is another thing. It's life-changing in a tangible way. Once you place God first and feel that fulfillment personally, no one can sway your conviction. Just like no one can persuade me otherwise, because I've felt and seen the power of God at work in my own life and in the lives of others. And that's what makes the Daily Jesus devotional community so unique on this platform. We aren't here for superficial reasons. We are deeply committed to spreading the gospel and transforming lives because we've witnessed God's power firsthand. Our team members have all walked that path, and we invite you daily to join us on this life-changing journey towards a deeper connection with God and to live a victorious life. And here's something else to think about. Remember the story of Noah and the ark? God told Noah to build an enormous boat because a flood was coming. People laughed and thought Noah was silly. But Noah listened to God, put Him first, and built the ark. When the flood came, Noah and his family were safe. Just like Noah, when we listen to God and put Him first, we're protected and guided. Even when things get tough or confusing, having God as our top priority helps us stay strong, hopeful, and filled with peace. So, let's be like Noah and keep choosing God and putting Him first. With God leading the way, our lives are always on the right track. Number two, there is the gravity of idolatry. As the book of Exodus warns us in chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." On the surface, this may sound straightforward. Most of us might say, "I don't worship idols, so this doesn't apply to me." But let's dig deeper. Idolatry isn't just about bowing to statues. It's about what occupies the throne of our heart. Is it money? Career? Relationships? Social status? Oftentimes, without even realizing it, these things take God's place in our lives every time we prioritize our desires, our fears, or the world's approval over God's voice. We place something else in His rightful position. Sometimes it may be unintentional, but that still doesn't change the reality. It's therefore essential to regularly examine our hearts and realign our priorities. By recognizing and dethroning these idols in our lives, we clear a path for God to take His rightful place. Let's think about the story of Jonah for a moment. Most of us are familiar with this story. Jonah tried to run from God's command, prioritizing his own feelings and fears over God's guidance. He ended up in the belly of a big fish. Yet, in that dark place, Jonah found clarity. He prayed and turned his heart back to God, and God, in His endless mercy, gave Jonah another chance. Just like Jonah, we too can find ourselves in tricky situations when we let other things take the place of God in our lives. But the beautiful thing is that God always gives us a way back. If we take a moment, refocus, and push aside the idols that have crept into our lives, we can begin to experience the joy and peace that comes from truly putting God first. Our God is faithful and full of mercy. After all, as Psalm 37 verse 4 reminds us, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." This Bible verse offers us a promise worth holding on to. Number three, know about the transformative power of divine guidance. Proverbs beautifully echoes this in chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean, not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." This isn't mere advice. It's a life principle. In our journey through life, we often come across crossroads, moments of uncertainty, and periods of darkness. We all do. It's in these moments that our human understanding feels woefully inadequate. But there's a promise awaiting us. We are promised of God's divine guidance. When we fully trust in God and acknowledge Him, He doesn't just enlighten our path. He leads us by the hand. This guidance isn't about merely avoiding pitfalls. It's about being directed towards a life of abundance and purpose. It's about embracing a journey where every turn, every twist, and every pause has divine intent behind it. Reflecting on the story of David and Goliath offers profound insight into divine guidance. As a young shepherd boy, David faced the towering giant, Goliath. By human understanding, David had no chance. He was not a trained soldier, and he did not have the size or strength of Goliath. But David wasn't relying on his own understanding. He trusted in the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, "With a simple sling and five smooth stones, he confronted the giant, saying, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.'" With God's guidance, David defeated Goliath and demonstrated that divine guidance and trust in the Lord could overcome even the most insurmountable challenges. This story encourages us to remember that when we trust in God's guidance, when we put God first, we can face our giants, no matter how big they seem. God is always ready to guide us, making our paths straight and leading us to victory. Number 4, reordering our priorities is crucial. In Luke 10, verses 41 to 42, we find a lesson on priorities. When Jesus told Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." He was pointing out the essence of priorities. Life is bustling, filled with tasks, responsibilities, and distractions. In the midst of this, it's easy to forget the most crucial aspect, our spiritual well-being. The dishes will always be there. The laundry will pile up again, and the emails will keep coming. But the moments that we spend at the feet of Jesus, those are irreplaceable. It's a lesson for all of us. While we shouldn't neglect our chores and responsibilities, it's vital to ensure they don't overshadow our relationship with God. By regularly reordering our priorities, we ensure a balanced, fulfilling life, where both spiritual and worldly responsibilities are harmoniously balanced. Taking a leaf from the book of Psalms, we are reminded in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." In our fast-paced world, stillness is often overlooked, yet it's in these quiet moments that we can genuinely connect with God and hear His voice. Think of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. After witnessing powerful events like fire and earthquake, God's voice came to him, not in the grand spectacles, but in a gentle whisper. This emphasizes the importance of quiet moments, away from the clatter and clamor of daily life. By making time for God in our busy schedules, by being still and listening, we give Him the space to speak to our hearts and guide us. This doesn't mean quitting our jobs or abandoning our chores. It means setting aside purposeful moments each day, even if it's just a few minutes, to sit in His presence. And as we do, our priorities naturally find their rightful order, with God at the center. Number 5, the joy of a God-centered life. Psalm 16, verse 11 states, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." How beautiful is that promise? The world offers pleasures. Yes, but they are temporary. They are like bursts of flavor that quickly fade away. God's joy, on the other hand, is eternal. It sustains, strengthens, and renews. A God-centered life is similar to dwelling in a perpetual spring. Even in the midst of challenges, there's an underlying current of joy. This joy isn't rooted in circumstances, but in a deep-seated relationship with the Creator. With God at the center, life becomes an exciting journey, filled with wonder, adventure, and profound joy. Reflecting on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we see Him proclaiming in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This purity of heart translates to a life free from the entanglements of worldly distractions and temptations. A heart devoted solely to God. Such a heart sees God, not just in grand miracles, but in everyday moments. The smile of a child, the beauty of a sunset, or the kindness of a stranger. A God-centered life brings clarity, like the clear waters of a still pond. Everything becomes a reflection of God's love and goodness. Every experience, good or bad, is an opportunity to draw closer to Him. And in this closeness, in this intimacy with the divine, we find the deepest and most enduring joy. It's a joy that goes beyond mere happiness. It's a joy that resonates in the depths of one's soul, regardless of what's happening around us. Number 6. Be confident about God's provision and promise. The promise in Philippians 4, verse 19 is a beacon of hope. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When we prioritize God, it doesn't mean forsaking our needs, desires, or dreams. Rather, it's entrusting them to someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. God's provision isn't about just fulfilling our needs. It's about exceeding them. It's not about giving us what we want, but what we truly need. Imagine a loving father looking at his child. He doesn't just provide for the child's basic needs, but delights in giving gifts, surprises, and blessings. That's how God views us. By placing him first, we tap into an infinite reservoir of blessings that flow from his throne. Number 7. Know the outcome of a divided heart. James 1 verses 6 to 8 cautions. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Duality is a challenge. Trying to balance between God and the world creates instability, like trying to stand on two boats, drifting in opposite directions. By serving two masters, we become spiritually lukewarm, neither here nor there. But by giving God our undivided heart, we find solidity, stability, and purpose. Our choices become clear, our path becomes defined, and our destiny becomes aligned with his perfect will. Number 8. Understand life's true purpose. Have you ever grappled with the whole thought of why you are here? Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 sums up the essence of our existence, and it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Amidst the noise of the world, it's easy to lose sight of our true purpose. Are we here just to live, earn, spend, and then fade away? Or is there a higher purpose to our lives, a divine calling, by honoring God and following his commandments? We align ourselves with this higher purpose. Life, then, isn't just about living. It's about thriving. It's about making a difference, touching lives, and leaving a legacy of faith, hope, and love. Embracing this truth brings clarity to our journey in life and adds meaning to every step we take. So remember, we are here to fear God and keep his commandments. And to do this, we have to put God first. Number 9. Know about the unmatched reward. Jesus made a profound promise in Mark 10 verses 29 to 30, and Jesus answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." So this isn't a transactional relationship. It's a covenant. When we prioritize God, the rewards aren't just spiritual. They manifest in our everyday lives. We will notice that blessings, favor, open doors, and divine connections become a part of our daily experiences. Above all, the promise of eternal life awaits us. It's an eternity, not just of existence, but of joy, love, and unparalleled communion with God. And does this mean that we won't ever face opposition, discrimination, or persecution because of our faith? No, it doesn't mean that either. Jesus consistently taught that following him might lead to suffering, and this scripture also underscores that message. However, amidst these challenges, when we put God first, we are also assured of victory through Christ, who strengthens and uplifts us in every trial. In other words, the enemy won't have the final say. God does. Let us look again at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. After squandering his inheritance and living a life away from his father, The son decides to return home, expecting rebuke. He is instead met with an overwhelming embrace and celebration from his father. This story illustrates God's grace and the unmatched reward awaiting those who return to him. Just like the father who throws a grand celebration for his returned son, God celebrates each of us. The reward is not based on our worthiness, but on his boundless love. Know that every sacrifice made, every challenge faced in the name of faith, is recognized and rewarded by God. And beyond the material and tangible, there lies the profound peace and joy of knowing we are cherished and valued. The rewards God offers aren't just for a moment. They echo into eternity, shaping our existence beyond this life. Now, in Revelation 3, verse 20, God extends an open invitation, saying, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." This isn't about a distant God up in the heavens. It's about a loving Father at our doorstep, waiting to be invited in. It's up to us to make that choice, to open our hearts and let him reign supreme in our lives. Consider this. The beauty of the gospel lies in its power to transform. When we embrace these truths and place God at the pinnacle of our priorities, our lives experience a profound transformation. So if you believe that you have placed God first in your life and there is no positive transformation, you need to do some introspection and ask for God's guidance, and always remember to be patient and trust God's timing. By making God our utmost priority, we move from merely going through the motions to living with purpose and intent. And those challenges we encounter, they evolve into opportunities for growth. As for the blessings, expect them to manifest as daily miracles in your life. The promise is clear. Put God first in your life, and your life will undoubtedly never be the same. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God, everlasting Father, Almighty God. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of heaven and earth. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I am grateful for your faithful promises, your amazing grace, your everlasting love, and your mercies that endures forevermore. Lord, I thank you for the gift of life, and I thank you for the many blessings you have given to me. Father, I humbly approach your throne of grace, acknowledging my sins, my mistakes, and my shortcomings. Forgive me of my trespasses, as I also forgive all those who have trespassed against me. Lord, forgive me for the times I've placed other things above you. For moments, I've let the pleasures of this world distract me from your eternal promises. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that every chain of idolatry and distraction in my life is broken, and I rebuke every spirit of confusion and worldly temptation that tries to pull me away from your presence. By the authority of the blood of Jesus, I claim emotional, physical, and spiritual healing over every part of my being. I declare, in the name of Jesus, that the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead flows through my veins, revitalizing and renewing my spirit, mind, and body. Merciful Father, I pray for divine protection over my life and the life of my loved ones. Lord, I ask that you command your mighty angels to stand guard around us, shielding us from all harm or evil. Father, you are our provider, and I ask for your abundant blessings to overflow in our lives. May you guide our paths and draw us closer to you. Lord, help us to prioritize you above all things and experience the fullness of joy that only you can give. Father, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I thank you for each heart that is humbled before you right now. For those who are feeling lost, may you be their saving grace and guiding light. For those who are burdened, may your Holy Spirit be their comforter and grant them peace. For those struggling with their priorities, may you grant them the conviction to put you first and the discernment to choose what truly matters. And for those in need of your touch, may you bring them healing, vitality, and restoration. Heavenly Father, we come into agreement as a faith-filled community, and we thank you for the rewards and benefits you have promised us. In your word, we ask for the strength and wisdom to always seek your kingdom first, to reorder our priorities, and to embrace the joy and transformation that comes from your divine guidance. Lord, I thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, amen. If you were blessed by this message, type the word amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons.
Bye. hallelujah. Ah, yeah. The Holy Hills of Heaven is calling me, Miss Vesta Goodman, this morning. And we thank God for another Wednesday morning. The week is, they say, halfway gone. And so they call Wednesday hump day. You got to get over the hump, and then we get into the weekend. And so we're thankful unto Almighty God for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Thank God for a safe trip to and from Georgia yesterday. Had a great time. Great time. Yeah, had a chance to ride and pray and ride and listen to music and worship and praise, and just a beautiful time. And so I'm thankful unto him, because sometimes you don't know what you need. We never know. We think we know what we need. We don't know. And God will just make a way for you to get what you need, and especially spiritual. Mm-hmm. Especially spiritual. We ask God many days, have your way, Lord, in my life. God, move according to your will, not my will. Yeah. And so when that time comes, he'll give it to us. And when I tell you, when I saw it yesterday, I ran to it. Ran to it, jumped on it, and rolled on out. Yeah. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. I thank him for everything that he gives to me, because he said in his word, he supply need according to his riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. I stopped to get $25 worth of gas. I only needed 23. And I gave me a full tank. And because gas right now is like $3.40, $3.69, some places $3.39. Yeah, I got it for $3.30. And it filled my tank on up. And I come back with a full tank almost. Yeah, didn't burn very much gas. That's God. He sent. When he sends, he take care of everything. Got to stop and have a wonderful meal. Waitress, the servers, they was just all beside themselves. And had seafood, and the fish was very fresh. The shrimp was very fresh. I thought I made that coleslaw. It was so good. I said, wait a minute, Barbara, you couldn't have made this. Who else got your recipe? But it was wonderful, wonderful. The hush puppies, and I drank unsweetened tea mixed with sweet tea, so it wouldn't be so sweet. Because that southern sweet tea, I'm telling you, it would give you instant diabetes. It's so sweet. And so I just had a wonderful time, had some corn nuggets. Yeah. And I didn't even think about dessert. God is good. Didn't even think about it, because I was so satisfied with the meal. And they threw french fries on some seasoned french fries on the plate. And I was like, look, y'all doing too much. I can't have this kind of stuff. But I enjoyed what I could enjoy, and come on home. And I made a couple of more stops, and God blessed me. Stopped to a Dollar Tree over in Georgia, and I was surprised. And I went in to get some stuff. My nephew's birthday is this weekend, and I went to get some gift stuff, you know, gift box and a card, and all of that was less than $5 in the Dollar Tree. So I was good, and I was happy, and I didn't spend much money now. Much money wasn't spent. Went to the hair store, and what I purchased out of there, they gave me 10% off. Look at that. Yeah, that was God sent me on that trip, you see. And so I'm thankful. And sometimes we're fighting. No, I don't have money. I don't want to go, Lord. I don't have no money. And you go on in Jesus' name, and he'll prepare. He's already prepared for everything that you need. Yeah, he already made the way. All you got to do is go. Trust in him. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about pleasing Almighty God Jehovah. When we please God, it get us some things. Yeah, when we please him, yeah, he will fix everything for us. Yeah, I'm talking about in a way, it's unimaginable almost. Yeah, and so I thank him this morning, and we are going to look at some stuff and look at some scriptures this morning, and one, I left the main one out, that when we please God, what he give us? Yeah. So we're thankful unto him, and we love him this morning, and we give him the glory and the honor. Yeah, because he have more than we need. Yeah. He's got it all. Hallelujah. Again this morning, the earth is his, the fullness thereof. The earth and they that dwell therein. So we're excited right there. Amen goes right there this morning. Y'all forgive me. I was typing something. But listen, pleasing Almighty God. Faith pleases God. Obedience pleases God. If we believe and walk by faith daily, it makes our Heavenly Father happy. He's pleased. God needs people who will give him their all. So he will give them more than expected. Need or want. He'll give you more than you expect, need or want. Faithfulness causes him to pour out upon us more. I know coming into the new year, many times people say, well, I'm going to do this year. I'm going to do that. And some people call it a new year's resolution. But we must make commitments unto God. Tell him what we plan to do and pray for his strength to get it done. Pray that it's his will. And Lord, keep it on my heart. Don't let me forget it. Keep it on my heart, God, that I get these things done. It's a beautiful thing, I tell you. Yeah. So this morning, I got to go over to the scripture. The first scripture is going to be Hebrews 11:6. Oh, that's one of my favorites right there. That's one of my all-time favorites right there. Yeah, Hebrews 11:6. I like Hebrews 11 altogether. Yeah, because it talks about faith and what happened with the elders, you know, the old timer, the old saints, what faith got them. Yeah. It got Abraham great things. It got Abraham family that if you can name the grains of sand in the earth, then you can name how many family members Abraham got. But he had to have faith. God told him to go to a strange country, another land, take his family with him, and that's what he did. Lot, the nephew, wanted to follow. He took Lot with him. They had to separate because Abraham had so much and Lot had so much. The land couldn't handle all of that God had given to them. So when the very thing, the very intent of Abraham's heart, that great heart desire, God gave it to him. He wanted more. Yeah, he wanted a son. He wanted children. He wanted grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. He wanted it all. And I believe, looking at it, Abraham was a wealthy man. He had much silver and gold. Yeah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. So look, when we look at Hebrews 11:6, it said, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Yeah, I think I wrote the right one down. But anyway, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirit and his ministers a flame of fire. We got to believe God. Yeah. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. That's verse 9 of Hebrews 11. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Anybody on the job ever saw where you had favor? And you had to think to yourself, well, how did I get this? And my three co-workers over there, they low on the totem pole. They very low. But look where I am. I was in Birmingham, Alabama. I had prayed for a car and a job. And I went to church Sunday night. you know, of the week I had prayed these things. And when I got there, the bishop called me out. He said, come here, baby, and let me pray for you. I went on up there. He said, God told me to tell you he heard you. He heard your prayer. Now, you know, that was enough to shake me right there. He heard my prayer. I was just coming into the faith. I was just coming into being a believer. And that shook me good right there. He heard my prayer. Oh, look at here, look at here. He told me what the prayer was. Listen now. There was no way this man could know this. He was not in the bedroom in my prayer time. Yeah, he was nowhere near. I really didn't know him that good at that time. I didn't know him very well. He said, God told me to tell you he heard you. And he's giving you a car. Listen now. He said, and he also told me to tell you he's giving you a job. He said, now go on and praise God for what he's doing. Huh? Go on and give him some praise. He done spoke that he heard you and he's answering your prayer. Well, it didn't do anything but cause me to believe more that my prayer had been heard and answered by Almighty God that have all power. There's no higher power than his. The same God that made the heavens and the earth. The same God that said, let there be light. And he was going to do these things by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. By the same power that made the blind man see, the lame man walk again. The same power that caused Lazarus to come forth. Because I believed. I believed. During these days, I'm loving righteousness and I'm hating iniquity. Therefore, God, even God, anointed me with the oil of gladness above everybody else. Huh? Above everybody else I was hanging around. In Alabama, they call it girl. Girl, where you get this? And girl, where you get that? And girl this and girl that. I got a brand new car. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I went back to church. He said, God told me to tell you he going to give you a brand new outfit to ride in your brand new car. I never paid that much for an outfit before. God blessed me to get an outfit that was over $100 at the time. Matching hat, matching shoe. I had to ride around to different places and, you know, shops and put it together. That's how God was moving for me. I couldn't afford $100-something outfit. So I know I didn't do it, but God did it for me. So when we look over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we believe it's spiritual. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we believe without seeing anything, when we believe without knowing where it's coming from, when we believe without knowing who he's using, what day is happening. But when we sit around trying to figure it out, we in the flesh. Romans 8 and 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is the one I was looking for right here, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. When a man's way please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. But you can't please God if you don't believe. You got to believe to please him. And we need to be born again so we can get all the benefits. One of the main benefits is obedience. Obedience will cause us to have things other people could never get. When we're born again and we're growing in God, growing in his word, it teaches us how to please him. It teaches us to keep his commandments. It teaches us to fear him first and keep his commandments. And we can't do this except we believe. We got to believe. Listen, Job 6:9 says this, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. But what did he do for Job? I believe he gave Job double what he lost. He lost all his children. He lost his property. He lost his livestock. He lost a lot of things. But the same Job said, though it slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. Though they slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. No matter what come my way, I'm going to trust God. Why? Because when I'm obedient unto him, he's going to give me things no one else can do. He's going to change my life in ways no one else can change it. If we look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says this, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God, of Christ. If I'm pleasing my flesh and if I'm pleasing man, I don't belong to God because I'm not obedient. He's not my Lord and Savior. He's not my Lord and Master. He's not my King. He's not my Savior. He's not my God because I'm pleasing me and I'm pleasing man. But when I turn all of this loose and I trust God and I stand still believing that he is God, I'm going to see some results in a few minutes because he know how much we can bear. He know how much we can take. He know how longer I can stand strong in this. So he's going to move in a mighty way to strengthen me and to bless me. Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Yeah. When we please God, the blessings of God flow. The blessings of God flow. Yeah. Hebrews 6:11-6. I must have had something else. Let me see. Or I had Hebrews 11:1, but it's Hebrews, excuse me, y'all, 11:6. Wait a minute, why it went back to 1? Okay, bear with me here. We're going back over this one again. Yeah. Listen, but without faith, you hear me say this all the time. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lewis said must wasn't in there, but must is in there. We must believe. If you want the reward of God, if you want the uncommon blessings, the uncommon favors, the uncommon miracle, if you want to be his, if you want your name on the roll, if you want to go back with him when he comes, if you want to work while it's day because when night comes, no man can see, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It goes on to say in verse 7, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Look what it got Noah. 8 people, his family, were saved because he had faith. He believed God. He feared God. When God spoke, he moved. Many times God speaking, we still standing there looking dumbfounded. We still, Lord, is this you? He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Do you know the voice of the Lord? And the only way you're going to know it is you got to commune and fellowship with him often. I don't mean on Sunday and you skip him Monday through Saturday. I don't mean on Wednesday night Bible study and you skip him on Thursday through Saturday. This got to be an ongoing thing every day, 7 days a week. 30 to 31 days a month, 365 days a year. We got to fellowship and commune with him. Because the more you do that, the more you're going to know his voice. And if you don't, then you stand still. My prayer was this. Lord, if this is not you, don't allow me to do it. Stop me. But God, if this is you, let me move with the quickness. Let me move with swiftness. I want to obey you quickly. But that's what he done for Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Did you hear that? I told you he called Abraham out to a strange land. He had to leave all his family, leave people he knew and friends and all of that, and went out to obey God. He went and God gave him an inheritance. Look at all the children he had, all the grandchildren. Ooh, look at all his kin people, all his relatives. Obedience by faith. Faith. By obeying God, believing God. Yeah. Verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He gave these boys here the same promise. So when they look around and see all the family members, oh my goodness. But it all started by faith with the father, Abraham. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builders and maker is God. He didn't look for the, you know, oh, that's a beautiful spot over there. I think I'm going to just go over there. No, I need to be led by the Spirit of God. I need for God to build me a place. I believe when he brought me here, he had built this place for me. He had somebody else to maintain it and this and that until I got here. But he built it for me. Whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. I'm going to run right quick and come back. Thank you, Jesus. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Boy, look at this. Do you judge God? Hey, glory, hallelujah. Do you judge God faithful? When he speak, do you judge him faithful? Do you say to yourself, well, he did this and he did that and he did the other and he did this and he keep doing that. Do you do that? So surely he going to do this for me. Money, house, cars, jobs, healings, all kind of things. God has spoken to people, but they don't judge him faithful who promised it. Many times they say, oh, that's her speaking. No. I don't have nothing like that to say. I cannot heal nobody. I cannot turn nobody's life around. I can't give you the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I can't give you the Bentley. I can't give you the Beamer, the BMW. I just can't do it. But he can, who's faithful, who's got all power, who owns heaven and earth, who rule and reign over everything, who eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good today. Always has been, because he was that way yesterday. He's that way today. And he will be that way forevermore. Somebody ought to clap their hands and tell God thank you, because he who promised, you can judge him faithful if he promised it to you. Though it tarry, wait for it. God is not a lying God. I'm going to tell you how I am. When people prophesy to me, and I know it ain't the truth, I said, Lord, you heard it. Make it come true for me. They lie, but God make it true for me. And guess what he does? Whatever they spoke, he bring it to pass for me. Because I knew it wasn't true. The thing that I know is true, God, I thank you. And sometimes I want to say, Lord, how soon? But many days I don't. I wait patiently like Job until it come to pass. See, that's one of the greatest things with God is patience. Two things, faith and patience. Oh, my goodness. Somebody said, Barbara, it's not always that. Oh, faith to believe that. Yes, ma'am. He gave us all a measure of faith. He gave us all a measure of faith. And he said if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can tell this mountain to be removed out into the sea. That mountain got to go. But you got to believe. You got to have faith. Where's your faith today? What are your faith in? Well, who you believe? My hope is built on nothing less. Woo! Than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Have you been washed in the blood? I do not dare. The sweetest frame. But only lean on Jesus' name. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hey, glory. All other ground is sinking sand. Do we believe God today? He heard you cry. He come to your rescue. Before you came to him and said, I do, before you came to him and received him, you was truly going through. But every time you turned around, he stepped up on the scene. When you was yet a sinner, he died for you. He stepped on the scene and made an escape for you some type way. If we look back over our lives and see what God has done, you can go on and count your many blessings and judge him faithful who promised. Judge him faithful, because he is there. If I know nothing else about him, I know he is faithful. Two things I know about God. He loved me and he is faithful. All the time. Not sometime, all the time. Because remember, Sarah laughed in the door when the angels came and told her she was going to have a child. I know what Sarah was thinking. Man, I'm almost 100 years old. Who having a baby? I'm past that age. My body don't even do what it used to do to produce seed. But God spoke it and it come to pass, did it not? It came to pass because he spoke it. So Sarah had to judge him faithful who had promised. Sarah knew God. And she knew all his promises were yea and amen. She knew this. But like I said, Barbara, you want me to believe that? That's hard. That's what it was for Sarah. But yet in her heart, she believed. Verse 12 says, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky is in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You can't count it. That's how much relatives Abraham got. Sand which is by the seashore. That's how much relatives, family Abraham at God. It's innumerable. You can't count it. No way. You won't count that. God said if you could count the sand, then each grain, okay, count. That's how much family Abraham got. But you won't count it. It's too much. Too many. 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Some didn't make it over there. But they got to see it from afar off, and yet were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 14 says, but they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Yeah, they needed somewhere to go. God sent them out from where they were. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next, I want to look at John chapter 14 and 1. Let's go there and take a look. I'm going to get it right this time. See y'all. All right. So look. Chapter 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If you believe in the Father, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe also in the Son. Because the Son not taking anything from God because they're one. He was going to do the work of the Father. He was going to suffer for us. Because God declared a way to redeem us, man, back to himself. We was lost. Adam and Eve helped us to be separated from God. But God loved man, and when he made man, he was pleased with what he made. And I believe he knew he would be because he made man for his pleasure. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, you know what? That make me want to run right there. That make me want to run right there. Listen, that where I am, there you may be also. Anybody want to go back with him when he come? He said he was coming again to receive us unto himself. That where he is, we may be also. And whether the way he go, or whether he go, we know. And the way we know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we say the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, this is the way to the Father. It's through the Son, Jesus Christ. He made Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm going to go to the Father through you and ask that he come into my heart and live forever, that he'll forgive me of all my sins, and that he'll make me a new creature in him. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things will become new. I have a new prayer life and a new Bible study life. And if I never had either one, now I have them. Jesus let us know this. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, these are disciples. These are men that he called to follow him. Listen, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffered. Suffices us. What? Verse 9 says, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Yes, sir. I know what Jesus is talking about. I never did nothing. God did it. It's him that do the work. Whatever he spoke to you, it's him that's bringing it to pass. Whatever he spoke to you, it's him that did it. When Barbara, I may have been a vessel he could use at the time, but that's it. All power is in him. 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Wait a minute here. Who else do you know raising the dead? Who else do you know healing the sick? Who else do you know making the lame walk? Who else do you know feed thousands with two fish and a few loaves of bread? Who else do you know doing all these things? The blind seeing, where they at? Y'all come running behind me because you got to see what I can do. Philip, what's wrong? They've been right here with me. And you know what? I feel like he tell me that someday. Barbara, what's wrong? All I've done, and you're kind of shaking a little bit. All I've done, and you got a little bit of doubt. Are you doubting, Barbara? Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, Barbara, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You seen what I did for you. You saw where I brought you from. You know now that even when you was a sinner, I yet died for you. Your nasty, stinking, sinful ways, and I yet loved you enough to die for you. And you got some doubt, Barbara? Come on up now. I'm yet the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He's gone. He needs some workers to do what he did. He needs somebody to lay hands on the sick and they recover. He needs somebody to call the dead forth and they come right up out of death. Death can't handle them. Death, they can't stay there. He needs somebody calling those things that are not as though they were, and not just for you and your family. He needs you to go to the vineyard and do it. 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ooh, look a here today. Boy, look a here. Do we believe? Do you believe when you ask God for something in the name of his Son, that he do it? Because God wants his Son to be glorified. Where's our faith? Who's sick in your family? You want grandmama to get up one more time and bake them biscuits? I recommend you go in and call that sickness out of body. You want your son healed of all this stuff, the doctors, ADHD, FG, HIJK, LMNOP? Listen, call them things out of them in the name of Jesus and mean business. And don't you let fear come in there no kind of way, because you serve an almighty God that have all power. You using that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Don't you dare fear. You stand up and let him know. No, sir, and no, ma'am. Y'all coming out today and you got to go. And I'm sending you straight to hell where you really originated from. Don't come back to my child. Don't come back to this house. Don't come back to nobody in my family in the name of Jesus. I pluck it all out, pull it all out by the root. Don't come back. I shut that door and you can't come back, and I seal it with the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. We got to stop sitting around talking about what God going to do when we're not going to do anything. And sometimes we don't do it because we don't want to offend family members. I know. I don't want my husband to be mad at me because the devil using him and I'm rebuking it. I'm calling that thing out of him. Because, see, people don't want to believe nothing bad is in them. But I knew I had the head cussing demon. Now that I'm on the Lord's side looking, I had that cussing demon. Ooh, you didn't want to hear it. They ain't cussing no more. They saying bad words because I stopped. Looking back, you can see. And some folks don't accept the truth. 13 says, and whosoever ye shall, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What you say, Barbara? If you love me, keep my commandments. And look what Jesus said in 16 now. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. What is that comforter? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. I believe even into eternity. 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. But he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit, we got the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. But boy, we don't like that thing right there. And listen what he said. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Somebody need to tell God thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At that day ye shall know. But see, I know today. I don't have to wait till that day. I know today that he's in the Father, and I'm in him, and he's in me. I already know that today, and I believe, and I waited for the comforter too. I didn't even know it, but when he came, he made a difference in my life. I could not go back to what I was. Matter of fact, I didn't have a mind to go back. I didn't want to go back. There was nothing back there that I wanted, nor felt I needed, or wanted to use. It don't mean that the tempter didn't come and try to remind me of things that was back there. I like that. He will do. He will do. Some women, including myself, have lived with men. And there were some very good days. And that tempter will come to try and remind you of that thing. Uh-uh. I don't want to remember that. The only way I want to remember it is when I give it for a testimony. If I'm not testifying about it, I don't want to think on that. Because I really was out of pocket. I was a sinner. I was a sinner. And sinning. Yeah, because you back there playing house. We ain't married nobody. No commitment, no paperwork, no legal, nothing. So I don't want to think on them days. Unless I'm giving God the glory and honor for bringing me out of foolishness, because that's what it was. He said to marry is better to marry than to burn both ways. Burn with lust and burn in hell. Marry. Stop shacking up. Stop being somebody's girlfriend, but giving them wifely stuff. What? Yeah. stand still and know that he's God. Stop lurking and searching and seeking and all of that. God's been good to you. No man was there. He provided for the bills. No man was there when your birthday come. God took care of you. No man was there when you had to take your child out, or you had to go out, or you had to do this and do that. You had to see about mommy. You had to go take care of dad. God was always there. We need to sit down and wait on him. Oh, you can make yourself available now. You go to the grocery store. You go to hairdresser. You go here. You go there. You're always out. You make yourself available. But we're not rushing up to nobody. We're not rushing into. We're waiting on God. Because some women, they see the vulnerability of man, and boy, they'll get him. They'll trap him. I got you. You going to take care of me. You going to pay these bills. You going to do this. And he just gullible going along with the program because he wanted a wife or he wanted a woman. And he didn't think this type of woman would pay him any attention. She's smart. She courageous. She got a little aggressiveness. So ain't nobody going to run over. You know, I ain't got to worry about it. Yeah. But sisters, we want to wait on God. And if he don't bring the husband, we got him. Tell me he don't pay bills. Tell me he don't give cars. Tell me he don't give houses on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Talk to me this morning if you feel like it now. Because he will not leave us comfortless. He gave us his spirit to lead and guide us which way to go and what to do. And if we don't know the way to go, or we may know the way, but Lord, I don't want to go. Would you bring it to me? Father, send it to me without me even going. Send it to me. And Lord, I want to use it as a great testimony unto you. I want the world to see that you brought it to me. And because you gave it to me, what I did with it. I served well. I trust you in everything about it because it came from you. Oh, glory to his majesty this morning. So look, we're moving right along. We're moving like right along. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank him this morning. We thank him. But there's none like him. When a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When our ways please God, it's nothing he won't hold back from us, but we must believe. Because we heard that them that's in the flesh cannot please God. So we got to walk in the spirit. That we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. It's easy to get in a lustful state. I don't care how long you've known God. I don't care how long you've been walking in your way. It don't matter. Flesh is always at work. That flesh always wants to be pleased. And if you don't think the flesh talk to me, it's my flesh. Look at it, Barbara. Do you know the flesh will cause you to kill yourself? Barbara, them cracklings in there, go eat some. No. Barbara, you can eat four slices of bacon. It ain't going to do nothing. Yeah, but make my head swim and my blood go up. My pressure. What? That's the flesh. Lusting after food. Lusting after the very thing that would take me out of here. I'm just telling you the truth. That thing said, Barbara, have a slice of pound cake and hit it with some vanilla ice cream. Hey, Barbara, go on and cut you up some peaches over there. Just go in heavy syrup. What? It's lusting after. Got to bring that thing under subjection because if you don't and you eat all of that, and you keep eating. Now you had that the next day, you're going to have bread pudding, lemon sauce. What? fried chicken, fried okra, fried squash, and pork chop. You headed out of here. And every day you eat more, you headed up out of here. There's no good thing in your flesh. I'm here to tell you. You know the scripture say when you do this and that, you this and that come about that's not good. Guess what the flesh will say? Oh, go on and do it. It's one time. It ain't going to hurt nothing. What? He said, don't do it. I'm just telling you, that flesh is something serious. And it gets you in all kind of trouble in the spirit realm. That would get you in trouble with God, your flesh. God say, don't do it. The flesh say, I'll go on this one time. Well, if you do it, you know you can ask God for forgiveness. What if you don't make it out of it? What if you die while you doing it? See, the flesh ain't coming with that. It wants to be pleased. And it's warring against the spirit that's in you, the spirit of God that's living in you, that your flesh is warring against that spirit when the spirit should be leading at all times, because our life should be hid in Jesus Christ. We're no longer feeling the pain of sin. No, because we're not sinning. We don't want to do that stuff no more. I don't want to club. Clubbing in 2024, have you lost your mind? No, ain't no 6 or 7 year old woman, a barber, want to go to no clubbing. I don't even want to go to a basketball, football game. I used to do all of that, go see the Jaguars play. Don't know what's going on, just sitting out there. Looking at them standing up, yay, touchdown. I didn't know what he touched. Was it up or down? I'm just out there. I have to laugh at myself some days, y'all. Yeah, I don't want to get together at no fair. No agricultural, Jacksonville agricultural fair. I don't want none of that. Yeah. I come out of all of that to have peace in him. Now, if you having church, you got three speakers over there calling me here. I want to come and hear every one of them. If y'all praising and worshiping like you don't have good sense, like you done lost your mind because you realize you did, you lost your mind and took on the mind of Christ. So when the praise and worship start, you give God your all. Call me. I'm coming on. I don't care how many people there. I'll be on over there. Because I came out from among them and I'm going to be separated. Now listen, nothing wrong with the basketball, football game, the fair. Nothing is wrong with that. No, don't misunderstand me. Don't think I'm saying it so that you shouldn't be going. Like Apostle Paul, he said, God didn't say this, I said it. No, that's not what I'm saying for you. I'm saying it for me. Because when we come out, become new creatures in him, old things pass away and behold, some things we don't want to go. Some things we don't want to do no more because it reminds us of something else. So some things we just don't do. It's not that it's wrong to do that. It's just that we don't want to be a part of that. Parades, I don't do them no more. Not that it's wrong to go to a parade. I just don't like it no more. I got better things to do than the parade, you know, to look at the parade. And I like marching bands and all of that, but they have our girls out there stripped down, butt naked, you may as well say. Polar young women out there just a twisting and a prancing and just a showing. Lord, have mercy. Why? Put them on some clothes and let them go on and do their thing. Let them march. And they ain't got to do up much twisting. It comes natural. When you walk, women twist when they walk. It's just a natural thing. We females. We feminine. We soft. Yeah, we girly girls. It comes natural for us. You ain't got to do all. You ain't got to do much. And when you leave something to the imagination of a man, you're doing a great thing. Yeah, he visual. He likes to see. And if he can't see, then he more visual. He imagining. But the day they don't give him nothing to imagine, he got it all. He see it all right there. Boom, bam, boom. You already know, sir. Yeah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. So listen, if anyone has something they would like to say, the studio is open. Please feel free to press that number one and come in. I'm going in a quick prayer. And when I come out of the prayer, if no one touched the number one on their phone to come in, then Sister Dot is going to bring our weekly Bible quiz. Yeah. So let's pray right quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you, Lord. Thanking you that you give us everything we need. Lord, you would even tell us what to pray for. Lord, when our ways please you, there's nothing you won't hold from us. Father, all things must work together for our good because you love us. And Lord, not only that, you called us and we love you. Hallelujah. And we are in obedience with you. We're walking in your spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Help us today, oh God. Father, strengthen us in these areas. I believe you send these people here, especially that faithful few. They continue to come daily, oh God, because there's a great thing in them. And Lord, you want to expose it even to themselves. Father, do it for your glory. Bring the call out of them unto you. Bring the work out of them unto you. Lord, you chose them, I believe. No way they could continue to come to hear this had you not chosen them. Stir up the gifts in them. Show them that they are yours. Anyone that's doubting this morning, God, we ask that you would replace it with faith. You would replace it with belief beyond their wildest imagination. Lord, give them faith that it may appear to them they're crazy, but it's your faith is what they believe because they got to see your wondrous works, even in them, in the name of Jesus. Help us to please you today. Help us to do the things that's acceptable unto you, not unto our flesh, but unto you, Father. Father, strengthen us and prepare us daily because you're coming back. We know not the day nor the hour. But Lord, we want to be ready when you come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Father, those that stand in the need of finances this day, we ask that you would move. Money answers all things. And Father, money makes us happy. It makes us glad. We want money, big, big money. And Father, nobody's mad but the devil. Do it for your people today. Lord, do it so that they can buy themselves some things they never could buy before. Lord, do it today so that they can give in ways they've never given before. In the name of Jesus, this morning, Father, I ask that God, you would bless Sherry. And Lord, I ask that you would bless Stephen and Kimmy and Mr. Mason. Lord, help today. Fix their hearts and regulate their minds. Show them you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, bring Aunt Sissy out this morning. God, I ask that you would heal this woman. You know what's going on with her. Strengthen her in this hour in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Oh, for what you're doing for us right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. And Father, those that's not here this morning, they didn't make it. Lord, we ask today that you would strengthen them and remind them to walk in the Spirit. Believe you, not themselves, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, anything we left out this morning, we ask that you would take it up. And Lord, touch and heal Sister Irene. Make a brand new God. Touch and heal them legs. Give her strength in her legs like never before. And her body, oh God. Lord, give her spiritual energy and physical energy. In the name of Jesus. And let her know that you called her to rest. Ah, yeah, you're leading her beside the still water. and you causing her to rest in the name of Jesus. If she will receive the rest, help today, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you for hearing. We thank you for answering every call and every listening, near and far. God, we ask that you would bless every home represented here, every family member, in the name of Jesus. I'll supply the needs today, oh God. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We can't say thank you enough. And Lord, remind us of things we needed to be reminded of in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Fix our memory today in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless Sister Jerry today, oh God. Touch and heal her body. Touch and heal her mind today in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you right now. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready, Sister Dot? If you're ready, press that number one and let me know. Good morning to you, Rose Brown. God bless you this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. Good morning to you, Brother Anthony. Good morning to you, Sister Sia. Good morning. God bless you. And good morning to you, area code 434-981. I got an idea about that number. God bless you this morning. God bless you. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman. And I don't think I left anybody out this morning, but good morning to everyone. And God bless you this morning. And I pray that today is going well. And if it started off a little rocky, that's because of the blessings that's going to come throughout the day. Later on in the day, what you're going to get to have is going to be worth it. You tell God thank you. Because many times when the enemy come, he come early in the morning and he just shaking and just a carrying on and acting a donkey and all of that. And later on in the day, if we learn to tell God thank you, later on in the day you see what he was shaking and trying to distract you from and all of this because something great is coming your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Push me right into my blessing yesterday, and I'm thankful unto God. There's none like him. None like him. And so we thank him this morning for being on our side in spite of us. And we thank him for keep on blessing us over and over again. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Dot, let's see what you got for us this morning. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning to all the listeners and you. I'm good. I'm good.
Amen. All right, let's see what you got over there with them questions.
The first question is, when the second angel in Revelation blew his trumpet, what part of the sea became blood? And the answer is, one-third of the sea. And it's found in Revelation 8, verse 8.
Okay. You can move on when you get ready.
Okay. Let me see now. The vision given to Nahum names which Old Testament city? And the answer is Nineveh. And that's found in Nahum chapter 1, verse 1.
Okay.
God placed the rainbow in the sky after the flood to signify what promise? And the answer is to never again destroy the earth with water. And that is found in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11.
Okay, and you said, Sister Dot, I'm going to go back 1 second. You said the vision given to Nahum names which Old Testament city. What was the name of the city again?
Nineveh. I'm not even pronouncing it.
No, it's Nineveh.
Oh.
Yeah, I missed that one, and I said, well, let me go back and get it. Over in Nahum 1 and 1. Yeah, I had to go back for that one. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're moving on, Sister Dot. I'm sorry.
Okay. What does the word epistle mean? And the answer is letter. And that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8.
Okay.
All right. What was the first thing that Satan tempted Jesus with in the wilderness? And the answer is food. And it is found in Luke 4, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put into wooden stocks? And the answer is Asher, the priest and chief governor. And that was found in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay.
But you know, I left one out. I think it was the second one.
Okay, let's go back and take a look at the second.
Philippians chapter 2. Verse 6 through 11 is commonly referred to as the answer is the Christ hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And it is found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That's it. Yeah. How many was that? 6 today? I don't have no number.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. I thought 6. Yeah.
Yeah, 6.
And I save them to go back over them, and then maybe sometime we can, you know, go back over the old ones that we've already done. And maybe somebody online want to give the answer. Yeah. Because I was putting them over on Facebook. And it was just a little bit too much because I had quite a few things going on. So I said, well, now I'm going to have to do it once a week instead of every day. And so I think it'll work out better for us, you and I, Sister Dot, to get it once a week than to have it every day like that. Because I know I'm busy and I know you busy because I see the stuff you do for me, and that takes a little something. So I'm thankful unto the Lord for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so the creation, spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All right, I got, if that's 2 Corinthians 7 and 8, or 7, let's see what 8 says. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Okay, that's the one where you said the epistle means letter. Yeah, that's the one right there. But 7 chapter 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All right. I just happened to stumble up on that one now. Yeah, because you gave the answer to the right one. That was the right answer. So we thank God this morning. Is there anyone have something they would like to say this morning? We have plenty of time. Feel free to press that number 1 and come in. Where's that brother Anthony? Oh, right down here. Yeah, I ain't heard from you in a few days, but Anthony, I know you're working and things. And you may not be able to get, you know, talk on the phone like that. But usually, even if I'm late, you know, if I'm about to go off after that, I'm going to raise my hand. I got something to say this morning. She ain't finna get off of here. And I'll give my testimony to the Lord. Yeah. And I look forward to that. So I know it's been a couple of days. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on with Brother Anthony? He ain't said nothing over here now. He ain't said nothing. So maybe he's driving and he can't, you know. And I understand that too. I really do. Yes, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful this morning unto you. So listen, you know, every now and then I have to go over to Facebook and check messages because I get a few messages. And sometimes if I don't, I done missed the message and the person there waiting on the answer and I'm gone. I done moved on in a new direction. I cleaned my Facebook out. And because, you know, people just come and just want to be your friend and want to be on your page. And I say, no, if they're not close friends and I'm cleaning all this out. I heard from you in 10 years. You ain't like nothing or nothing. Yeah, it's time to go. You just occupying space, you know, in my friend list. So you ain't a friend. You're not a friend. I'm going to move you on. And some businesses, all the ass. I started unfollowing and deleting. Yeah, because get on out of here. I don't need that. I don't think I ever will. And I want to see what my friends put out here, not all of these commercials and all these ads. Yeah, Facebook should be ashamed of themselves. But we tell God thank you because it's a place where we can talk about the Lord and, you know, put God the things out there. So we good. We good. And the Lord will take care of Facebook. Yes, he will. Just keep praying, and it'll be all right. So, look, we're going to one more request of the morning. And when we come back again, the studio is open. If you have something you would like to say, feel free and press that number one. And any time that you want your mic closed, Sister Dot, just send me a message and say, close my mic, and I will. All right, we're going right here.
Your feet back on higher ground.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Ah, when God shines his light on you. Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And not only that, but you will know. You will know because things won't be the same. Yeah. Things will be better for you. Uh-huh. He's shining his light on you. He shine on the just as well as the unjust. The unsaved, you know, he take care of them too. Because when we were sinners, he died for us. Yeah. So he take care of them too. And so we thank him for being able to take care of all of us. Yeah, we don't want him to just take care of us and then the world just go to pieces. Oh, no, don't take care of them. Lord, don't do it for him. Yeah, do it for him, Lord. Yeah. All right. You too, Sister Dot. God bless you. God bless you. All right, we're closing it out. Hallelujah. So if no one else have nothing else to say on anything to say this morning, then we will pray out and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And I'm going to tell you what tomorrow's topic should be. The greatest words ever spoken. Do you know what the greatest words that were ever spoken is? Well, tomorrow you'll find out. I can't help myself. Yeah, that's going to be the topic tomorrow, the greatest words ever spoken. And so look that up if you want to, spiritually now, the greatest words ever spoken. For me, spiritual, to hear with my natural ears, it was a great thing. Yeah. So we'll find out what it was, what it is tomorrow. All right, Brother Anthony, good morning. God bless you, sir. How are you?
God bless. Have a favor. Good morning, Ms. Barbara. Good morning, everybody. First of all, I just want to give God thanks. Thank you for waking up this morning. Thank you for life, heaven, strength. Keeping me in my right mind, allowing me to see another day I never seen before. I thank God for activity in my limbs, and I thank God for who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me, and just blessed to be here this morning. I missed out yesterday. I had to take a trip, take the Lowe's. I was up early and had to get up. And by the time y'all got going good, I hit the area and all the phone service was out, so I couldn't really do too much. Just wanted to say good morning this morning. And I'm kind of behind this morning. I done moved so much yesterday. I left my keys to the truck somewhere. So I'm looking for them right now. That's why I kind of was in between. Come on, thing.
In between working things.
You know, trying to get situated this morning and get going. I normally don't leave my keys, so. Trying to figure out what was going on with it. Or where they at the moment. Come on, this ain't going.
Well, Lord, bless him to find them keys in the name of
Jesus. Yes,
ma'am. Lord, help him today to get through the day. Don't let it continue to be a struggle. It started off a struggle this morning for him. God, bless him throughout the day and show him why. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Something good coming your way. That's what all that's about. Tell the Lord, thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, we thank you, Lord, because you're bringing greater. You're bringing more of what I need my way this day in the precious name of Jesus. Fix it for him today. Don't let it be nothing. Continue to it. Yeah. No weapon that is formed against him today shall prosper. Lord, you didn't say it wouldn't form, but it won't get no bigger. It won't get out of hand. It won't cause no problems in the name of Jesus. It may sound like it. It may appear to be, but God, we know your word hold true, and we trust it today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you this morning. Yeah, it's all right in Jesus' name. Yeah, that enemy, he come this morning. Yeah, because blessings coming your way much better than you think. Uh-huh. And see, he'll tell you some stuff too, Brother Anthony. He will talk to you. I'm telling you, I see this and that and that. And I know him. Because he's done me the same way. Yeah, I have to bind it up. I'm not going to hear nothing you got to tell me. What happened, why it happened. Now, I don't even care why it happened. I know that the Lord is blessing me right now, right now. God is blessing me. And see, that enemy, he get mad because he can't be blessed in the way that we bless. He messed up. He caused this thing upon himself. He showed God how evil he wanted to be. Yeah, so God had to put him out. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And I'm happy he put him out. Yeah, enough. Hallelujah. And so it's all right today in Jesus' name. Thank you for trying, Brother Anthony. Thank you for coming in there anyway. Yeah, you got your own little struggles, and yet you heard me and you came on in there anyway. And God bless him just for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And it's not going to be long, and everything going to change. It's just not going to be long. Yeah, everything going to change. And for the better, for the better. Yeah. You heard the songwriter say, it won't always be like this. Ooh, you should find that one. God is perfecting that which is concerning me. But sooner or later, oh, it's going to work in my favor. God is turning it around for me. Hallelujah, around for me. I need you to sing that, around for me. He's turning it around for me. Yeah, bro, Anthony, trust him this morning. Trust him. Things going to get much better, much better. Yeah. I'm telling you now, I from way back, I saw where you were going to be in a position. That's all I'm going to say to you this morning. In a position that's good and is what you want. It's what you wanted a long time. Yeah, God is working on it. Just stay focused. And remember, he is faithful. I don't care what man say, man do, people say what they're trying to get me to do. God remains faithful. And that's who I'm depending on. I can't even depend on me. Yeah, I can't depend on me. I don't know nothing. I don't know how to get it done. But Lord, lead and guide me in the right path for your name's sake. I'm following you. Because if I follow me, I'm just going to fall off off the cliff, off the edge of the cliff. But I want to follow you so I make it to my destination. Yeah, I make it to the place where I want to be. You'll give me more that I need because you're more than God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Lift your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting arms. Ha! Hey, glory. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift up your eyes to the hills today, Anthony, from which cometh your help. All of your help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. The devil want to defeat you, but he's a lie. It won't work. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against you. Hallelujah. Shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say? We still have time. Hey, Shante, you up in there? Do you hear the hammering and bamming? Yeah, but I'm saying it's not loud enough to disturb what we're doing in here. Uh-huh, I told you. Ah, the neighbor getting a fence put up, a new fence. And usually they tell me when they do that, you split half and they split half because it's between the two properties. But he said we don't have that. Worry about he got the whole thing. He going to take care of it. But I thought maybe I would hear a bam, bam, a boom, 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 boom. I barely heard anything. I think I heard one or two little bam, boom, and that's it. Yeah, because what God have in place, it's going to override everything else. It's been many days the lawn service comes. They just doing their thing. I keep right on going. Yeah. And many times nobody heard nothing. They never mentioned, oh, I heard your lawn service out there just a cutting grass. Lord God have it covered. And I'm thankful unto him. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe him today. Yeah, because I seek him. and he's going to reward me, yeah, for diligently seeking him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think we saw Minister, either Minister Shonda or Minister Spinner this morning, and it's always good to see them for I think it's 484-434 area code, yeah, Virginia area up in there, and when they come on. Now, that's where I really want to go. I want to go down that way and see her and see Minister Spinner, because both of them been here to see me and Sister Diane. So I want to go over that way, and I might talk to Shantae about that, because we're taking a road trip, hopefully. And what we want to do is go on the road and spread the good news of Jesus. Yeah, at the rest stop. Wherever we have to stop, you know, we talk about, see who God will lead and guide us to talk to about his goodness. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. And we bind up everything that's not like God coming our way in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer on that for your sake and our sake. Hallelujah. And Lord, loose many that will receive you on the road in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God. Yes, praying time. We got to pray about every little thing. Every little thing, we got to give it to God, because the enemy ain't going to let nothing slide in this hour. See, his time is up. His time is up. And he's angry about that thing, and he just want to do whatever he can to stop whatever he can. Yeah. Oh, but we serve a risen Savior. We serve Almighty God who have all the power. There's no higher power, and we ain't really got it to worry about if we trust in the Lord and moving on in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's all right today, again, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So again this morning, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out, and we'll go to our last song of the morning. And after our last song, I won't be coming back today. Have a blessed day. God bless each and every one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, for those that faithfully listen every morning and those that come through the archives and the podcast, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. I know you don't have to. And I thank God for it. And I thank his good gods. I thank you. I made number 5 on their chart. And so I thank God for that this morning. And I thank God, you know, that I was able to see that. You know, they let me know. And they sent me an email, you know, and tell me what number I am on their charts. And so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I sure thank the Lord for it. And I need to go in now and do some stuff, update some things and all of that. And then I need to take a look at more to see more about Dr. John Hagee. I like to, you know, see a couple of his things. Yeah, it's called Good Pods. GOODPODS. Good Pods. And I got one person that like it, but I'm number 5 in the top 100 King all-time chart, top 5 podcasts. Yeah, so I thank God for that, and I got to go ahead and claim my badge and everything, and I'll do that later. But I thank God for that. That means somebody somewhere can hear. We never know people prayer. Yeah, we never know. And sometimes people don't pray the tradition of prayers, you know, what folk think they ought to pray. They pray for what they need. Lord, send me somebody. I need some help. Lord, send somebody to help me. Because that has been my prayer. I remember one time I was getting ready to move, and I didn't have no help. And I prayed the prayer of faith. Plus, God was giving me the spot. See, he had secured me a place. He did it. I didn't. Now, where it was, I thought I wouldn't like it, and I'm like, ooh, mm-mm. That's ghetto central right there. But guess what? It was the place he prepared for me. And guess what? When I got there, I was more than happy to have it. And starting off, it started a little rocky, because, see, the enemy wanted me to think it was going to be worse to worse. I move in on a Saturday. By Monday, I would be trying to move out, but guess what? God came on up in there, and you didn't know where you was at. You didn't know if you was in the White House or if you was in the project. You didn't know. But once you closed that door and got in there and mind your business and everything, you was good. And that was my next assignment. See, that's where my next job was. That's where the work was. And when I tell you, I got on in there and got it done to the best of my ability. Yeah. And the Lord blessed me. But the pay, oh my goodness. The benefits was excellent. You couldn't get a better package than what God gave. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Make me want to run around a little bit and come back. Yeah. Yeah, I feel all right today in Jesus' name. And so we're thankful unto him. We're grateful unto him. We appreciate him. And this morning I'm going to cook Shantae some breakfast. And because I went and had all that good food yesterday and she had to work at the house. And I'm enjoying it and things eating wonderful. So I'm going to make her some breakfast and try to make up. And I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to cook dinner too. See that? So I'm going to make it up for them who have to work while their mama retired and enjoying herself out here this life, you know. So we thank God this morning. We thank him. And see, you know, I get tickled at the drop of a hat. I laugh right now. Just tickle me good. Yeah. And it's all right in Jesus' name. So look, let's pray the prayer of faith, and then we'll go to our last song of the morning. And again, after the song, I won't be coming back today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word this morning. But Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Again, it's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. And as we depart this morning, send your anointing, O God. That, Lord, it would keep us, your word. Sanctify us today through that truth, for that word is truth. Father, you sent your word and your word healed. And we pray this morning that the word that has come forth will heal in the name of Jesus. Father, you remind us to look to the hills. You remind us that you're Almighty God that have all power. And we can speak the word. We can speak the word this morning. Whatever it is that we're desiring in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for all you've done already. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for what you're going to do. Oh, we give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 27th, 2024. In Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. A blessed day.
my prayer.